John chapter 10, verses 26 through 28 and verse 31. But ye believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. You may be seated. There was the strangest story last week in the media. Hillary Clinton's closest right-hand gal for 21 years, Huma Abedin, is divorcing her husband, Anthony Weiner. What is so strange is that she's a very strong Muslim, and her soon-to-be ex-husband is very Jewish. What? A Muslim and a Jew were married? How many marriages of this kind do you know about? Her father was friends with the man who was instrumental in founding Al-Qaeda. Now here we have a picture of Huma to the left of Hillary. She is known as Clinton's shadow because she's always with her. Huma Abedin began working for Hillary when she was just 19 years old. She was a freshman intern from George Washington University when she was assigned to the First Lady's office. She has held different positions over the 21 years. That means over half her life, isn't it? That she has served Hillary. And she is now the vice chair of her 2016 presidential campaign. She has been a constant companion to Hillary, even traveling with her to foreign lands when she was Secretary of State. When her husband got in all that trouble, she was in another land with Hillary and visiting other countries. They have spent a lot more time together than either has with their husbands. Question. Would your wife spend more time on her job traveling around the world with another woman than she would with you? Just a question. There are a lot of rumors about this situation with Hillary and Huma, which could be true. Michelle Bachmann, a Republican from Minnesota, described Huma as having, quote, three family members. Her late father, her mother, and her brother connected to Muslim Brotherhood operatives and or organizations, unquote. Huma, who could become the future White House chief of staff if Hillary wins the election, was assistant editor of the Journal of Muslim Minority Affairs until as late as 2008. Huma wrote articles for that publication that was the absolute opposite of what Hillary very strongly advocated on the campaign trail. Institute of Muslim Minority Affairs. There's her mother, and there's Huma, and there's her sister Hiba. And that's not her father, that's the founder of this organization. The Institute of Muslim Minority Affairs is affiliated with the Muslim Brotherhood and Al-Qaeda funder, Abdul Omar Nashif. For all the media pieces about Huma Abedin, her family life in Saudi Arabia gets very little attention. I will mention that the people had the right from 9/11 to sue Saudi Arabia. You see that this week. So it's the government official said that it's going to mess up our relations with them, but they have the right to sue. But what question is not asked? The question is not asked is, how did a Muslim girl from a conservative Muslim family in Saudi Arabia, Indian background with Muslim Brotherhood roots, end up marrying a secular Jew and become the right-hand woman to Judeo-Christian Hillary Clinton? That's a Muslim, Judeo-Christian, and a Jew all wrapped up in one close unit. A person who thinks that Jesus was a major prophet. A person who thinks that Jesus died for all people. And a person who thinks that Jesus is now in hell paying for his sins committed against the Jewish people. What a combination. And didn't Clinton's daughter, Chelsea, marry a Jew? And didn't two of Donald Trump's children, one of each gender, marry a Jew? In fact, his daughter, Ivanka, turned Jewish to boot. They all seem to have a desire to marry those who God said not to marry. And how did Huma miss any criticism of her marriage to a non-Muslim, especially to a high-profile Jew? Given that it's perceived that it's not allowed for a Muslim woman to marry a non-Muslim man, especially a Jew, how is that even possible? And he turned out to be such a pervert that he was forced to resign his office from the House of Representatives and a solicitation for the mayor of New York City. Huma worked for his mother's magazine for 10 years, promoting conservative Islamic relations for women. How does that compare with working for feminist Hillary Clinton and being married to Anthony Weiner? And yet practically all Democrats and liberal supporters fall all over themselves to defend her. Why? But this story won't even cause most people to even consider changing their vote in November. They will still vote for Hillary, the biggest liar, murderer, and criminal who has ever run for president. Nothing will get the majority of Negroes, Latinos, Orientals, and Jesuits to change their vote. Why? Well, that's today's sermon. Why is everything changing for the worse? The leftist views. Have you ever wondered how a person could have views that are so against our gods? For example, how could a person be for abortion, same-sex marriage, sodomy, homosexuality, illegal immigration, third world integration, equality of the races, multiculturalism, tolerance of all religions, acceptance of rock and roll, acceptance of the drug culture, and acceptance of sexual fornication, feminism, and so on and so on and so on. It seems like whites used to be against all these things. In fact, these illicit views used to be either against the laws of this nation or were not present in this nation at all. And yet today there is the majority of all races but one who are in favor of or tolerate them. Why is this? Is it an educational issue? Is it an economic issue? Why has our nation changed its views on these national sins? Is it because there are more non-whites in our country than in previous times? The main reason is that it is a racial issue. Yes, it is a racial issue. Did you not listen carefully to what Jesus said in our introductory verses today? He told a group of people that they were not his sheep. They therefore would not believe what he was saying. The only people that would believe his words were his sheep. You have to be a sheep to hear God's words. If you are a goat, you can't hear God's words. How do you become a sheep if you're a goat? You can't. There seems to be two different kinds of people in the world today, sheep and goats, wheat and tares, who are not God's sheep. The sheep are God's coveted people, Israel. God at one time was their literal king. He has fought for them, defended them, helped them, disciplined them, loved them, divorced them, chastised them, and even died for them. No one will pluck them out of his hand. He will give to them eternal life. He was and is the shepherd of his sheep. And what will he do to those who are not of his sheep? Will he love them as he does his covenant people? Has he been a literal king of all of their nations? Has he fought for them and defended them? Has he married any of them? These wolves, vipers, and goats, have they heard any of the words that Jesus spoke? The Jews, shortly after Jesus told them they were not his sheep, gathered up some stones to stone him once again. So is a Jew not God's sheep? Who is a Jew? Isn't that a strange question? Almost everyone knows who a Jew is, don't they? Almost everyone knows a Jewish person. Most will say a Jew is by religion and by birth. I grew up with a whole host of these kind of Jews. Their mother was Jewish, and they went to the synagogue on Friday. They were members of the religion of Judaism and the Talmud. But a Jew is by religion and not by birth. You all know Marilyn Monroe. She believed in Judaism, but was not born Jewish. And there are a lot more examples in the entertainment business. Sammy Davis Jr. is one. He was a black singer and entertainer. He turned Jewish. And there is Madonna, Britney Spears, and Ivanka Trump. Anyone can be a proselyte. Anyone can be a proselyte of the Jewish faith. But a Jew is not by religion, but by birth. David Ben-Gurion, former prime minister of Israel, was a follower of Buddhism, but was born of a Jewish mother. There is Anthony Weiner, a secular Jew. There are a lot of Jews who are even atheists. They can be Roman Catholic, Judeo-Christians, Messianic Jews, Hindus or Buddhists, etc., but they're still called Jews. This is very confusing. A person is a Jew if he is born and practices the Torah and Talmud, or if he practices the Torah and Talmud but is not born a Jew, or if he's born a Jew but practices another religion. Who is a Jew then? Is there something that's common to all of them? What is something that all of them have to one degree or another? Some have a lot of it. Some have a good smattering of it. And some have very little of it, but they all possess it. A Jew is a person who carries in their bloodstream the genes of the first rebel of the earth, Cain. It is purely racial. If they have this in their blood, they are cursed of God. They are not born from above, they are born of the wicked one. How do you obtain this curse for your offspring? It is by racial intermarriage or illicit fornication with them. This is why, as one of God's strictest rules, thou shalt not marry a Canaanite who intermarried with the descendants of Cain. There are three biblical examples of people who did intermarry with the descendants of Cain, the first rebel against God. Genesis 3:15 shows that he is still fighting against God and his people. and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The two seeds have enmity between them. It doesn't say it will stop after the resurrection of the seed of the woman. In fact, if one studies the Bible closely, he will find that this battle goes on until it reaches its climax in the book of Revelation. The Bible tells us that's a life or death struggle. And several times, the seed of Judah and later the seed of David was about to go out of existence except for some heroes of the faith. In these cases, Tamar and Jehosheba, who intervene and save the day. The seed of the serpent operates by deception and uses sorcery, music, and misapplication of Scripture to deceive the elect of God. These people were barred from most Christian nations for many centuries. They were expelled from England from 1290 to 1660. They were let back in by Oliver Cromwell for purposes of a usurious loan to the nation. At that time, Christians did not make such loans. It was against God's law to make them to their own people. But let's get back to Cain. Cain interracially married with an Oriental, and his descendants are given in Genesis chapter 4. They lived in tents and wandered all over the world, with their occupations being either herding cattle, or others were musicians, and many others were great in the metal arts, instructor of every artifacture in brass and iron. They later intermarried with Canaan. There are even stories of Cain traveling over the Atlantic Ocean to Central and South America and starting civilizations there. They lived almost 1,000 years, so it is entirely possible that they did wander to the Americas. Canaan, the son of an incestuous relationship with Ham and Noah's wife, Ham's mother, cursed by Noah and forced to marry in the Cain's line. After marrying into the Cainites, descendants of Cain, he was cursed by God. Let us look at a very stern warning given by our God when his covenant people were about to enter the promised land. He told his people something they should not do. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 1 through 4. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land where thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them, and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. So you shouldn't marry any of the seven nations of the Canaanites in the promised land. You should kill them all. Esau, he despised the covenant of God so much that he married two Hittite women who were part of these seven nations, Canaanites, and later one Ishmaelite. Did you notice that the Hittites were given in the list of nations not to marry? The Hittites were part of the Cainite family. He was cursed by God. In Genesis chapter 26, verses 33 and 34, and Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, which were a grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah. Genesis 28:1. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him, and charged him and said to him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Genesis 28, verse 8-9. And Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, and his father loved him, but the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, then went Esau into Ishmael and took unto the wives which he had, Bahathlah, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Dabzalah, to be his wife. But did this marriage prove fruitful to Esau? No, it didn't. None of his marriage did. He despised the covenant, which was a racial covenant. His offspring became resentful of what Esau had lost and desired to obtain the blessing that was given to the covenant people of God. They would gain control of the world through violence and deceit. Shelah, the offspring of Judah, was the Canaanite woman. Shelah also married a Canaanite woman, producing more mongrel children. He and his offspring were cursed by God. Genesis 38, verses 1 through 5. And it came to pass at that time that Judah went down from his brethren and turned into a certain Edomite whose name was Hira. And Judah saw there a daughter of a certain Canaanite whose name was Shua. And he took her and went in unto her. And she conceived and bare a son, and called his name Ur. And she conceived again and bare a son, and she called his name Onan. And she yet conceived again and bare a son, and called his name Shelah. And he was at Chezbib when she bare him. The rest of chapter 38 tells how Judah's tribe was kept from extinction from Israel by the heroics of a more righteous person than Judah himself, Tamar. Judah and Tamar had twin sons who had children. Shelah had mongrel children. Now all of these, the descendants of Canaan, the descendants of Esau, and the descendants of Shelah, have the genes of Cain in them. Their offspring, what, cannot hear the words of God. What a curse. And you know, my parents always said, it is important that you marry a person who is from good stock. I don't think they knew completely what that meant, as they didn't explain it to us like I'm doing today. But it does mean that they heard it from someone in their life. I'm saying that's extremely important what stock a person is born into, as that determines whether or not he is capable of hearing the words of God. Any of these people who cannot hear the words of God should be called a Jew or a Kenite or a Canaanite in today's world. But here is the surprising situation. Most people who have mixed their blood by interracially marrying with them are only known as Jews. They are not known as Kenites or Canaanites. Does anyone know of a Canaanite or Kenite in today's world? Who else in the world carries the blood of Cain in them? A whole lot of people. But what did our Savior refer to these people? Ye are not my sheep. You cannot hear my words. This is a key statement. A Jew or a Canaanite or a Kenite can hear the words of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That explains why it doesn't matter how much proof you obtain that shows that Hillary is the head of a criminal operation. They will not change their mind. They are leftists to the core. Who are these people? I used to think that the Jews made up 2-3% of the population of the United States, but I was wrong. They make up a lot more than that. May our God forgive me. Ashkenazi Jews. The Ashkenazis of southern Russia are Turkish in origin. They come from a lineage of Japheth, not Shem. They were a buffer between Christians, Muslims, and Jews. Around the year 750 AD, it is said that they decided to turn Jesus. But why? It was because of the influx of Edomite Jews who were kicked out of Jerusalem in 70 AD, who came to northern Africa, Asia Minor, Spain, and eventually to southern Russia. Soon the Jews of Khazaria became so numerous and influential that they made a cultural and spiritual conquest of their host. This is a repeated story in history. Once this happened, Khazaria became a Jewish state. This acted like a magnet to the whole of Eastern Jewry and caused a mass migration of Jews to Khazaria. This produced a massive number of interracial marriages in the Empire of Khazaria that resulted in a new kind of Jew. The Ashkenazis were a further influx of Turkish and Mongolian blood. This was a radically new ethnic element from Central and Eastern Asia that was interjected into Jewish blood. It was profoundly different from the Sephardim racial makeup, but both had the blood of Cain in them. When the Khazarian Empire broke up, many of the Jews went to Poland and the rest of Europe. 3/4 of all Jews lived in Poland by the middle of the 16th century. By the end of World War I, Poland became the center of European Jewish world, with one of the world's largest Jewish communities having more than 3 million people. When the Jews were expelled from Spain in 1492, as well as from Austria, Hungary, and Germany, many of them went to Poland. There were many Sephardic Jews in Spain. In 1492, after the Spanish Inquisition, the Jews also traveled all over the world. Besides wandering to Poland in Europe, many went to the Caribbean islands, to South America, and eventually to America in the 1600s. Arabs. The term Islam refers not only to the religion, but also to the entire body of believers in the countries they live in. Among the predominantly Muslim nations of the modern world are Morocco, Algeria, Tunisia, Libya, Mauritania, Chad, Egypt, the Sudan, Syria, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, and the other states of the Arabian Peninsula, Turkey, Albania, Iran, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Malaysia, and Indonesia. Large Muslim communities exist in Lebanon, Yugoslavia, the Soviet Union, China, India, and the Philippines. There's hardly a region that does not have a Muslim community. Muhammad, a half-Jew, founder of Islam, was born at Mecca, August 20, 570 AD. At age 40, he claimed a revelation from the angel Gabriel and launched a hybrid religion. Gaining adherents and an army, he soon conquered all of Arabia and summoned Persia, Abyssinia, and Constantinople to embrace his religion, but died before taking on Asia Minor in the Roman Empire. After his death, his fanatical followers pressed into Egypt, Palestine, Persia, Syria, and 50 years later moved into North Africa and Spain, giving the conquered an ultimatum of conversion or the sword, raping the women as they went. Upon sweeping northward into Spain at the beckoning of the Jews, they broke the rule of the Visigoths in 711, bringing with them Berbers from Africa, making Cordova their seat of government. Later, the Arab forces invaded France, but were defeated at Tours in 730 AD by Charles Martel, which was a major turning point in history. Islam is the youngest of the world's great religions. It was developed in Arabia, in an area that was one of the most significant melting pots revealed by history. and the great religious enthusiasm of the peoples living there was thereby diffused and given a universal character. The central beliefs of Islam contain five affirmations central to the basic Muslim doctrine. The fifth affirmation says, quote, fifth, the community of believers includes all who reverence Allah, His prophet, book, and the day of judgment. This is the celebrated brotherhood of Islam in which all barriers of race, color, tongue, and status are broken, unquote. In the beginning, Islam was the descendants of Ishmael, the son of Abraham and Hagar, but Esau married into the line of Ishmael. And eventually all barriers of race, color, and tongue, and statutes had married into the line of Ishmael too. Even Anthony Weiner married Huma Everdeen. Mexicans. One must understand that with Cortez and the succeeding Spanish explorers over a period of three centuries, with the influx of 300,000 men, there were many Arabs, Turks, and bad fig Jews. Most of these interracially mixed by rape, marriages, and affairs with the various Indian tribes among them. Aztecs and a bunch of tribes. You can read all those tribes. You might recognize some of the tribes. The Mexicans are the mixture of all these different Canaanite Cain bloods from the Hittites to the Girgashites carried by the Spaniards and Jews. They also infected the Central and South Americans too. For example, in Brazil, many Jews were plantation owners who requested more slaves than any other nation from Africa. They mixed their unholy seed with many of these natives and produced the wicked seed line of today. South Americans. Cain reportedly traveled to South America and started the civilizations there. The story of the worship of Cain appears among the Mayas of Yucatan and the Quiches of Guatemala. The Mayas say their kingdom was founded by King Can, and Can means serpent in the Mayan language. The person who came and brought them this form of worship was deified in their legends of Quetzalcoatl, the feathered serpent, a serpent having feathers instead of scales. Their legends say that out of the east on white-winged ships came white men who taught these Mayans their civilizations, and filing sailing away back to the east on these white-winged ships, saying, someday we will return. When the Spanish explorers, which included Jews, got there, they took advantage of the situation and raped and later intermarried with the people. Most of the people of Mexico, Central, and South America have the same portion of the blood of Cain in them at this day. When Rand and I went to the Mayan temples in Mexico, we heard this from the guard who gave us the speech. Have you ever known of an Oriental, Chinese, Tibetan, Zulu, Nigerian, Kenya, who were of the Christian identity? No. Because they're not a part of the God's covenant he made with his people. But many of the people today are Roman Catholic or Judeo-Christians. That's because they needed to have a common religion that gives them the universal choice to be part of a salvational gift, which is correct. Separatists are universalists. The Southern Baptist Convention said that slavery and racism is a sin, and they have repented of it. What does God say of slavery? Abraham had 318 armed slaves that fought with him, and Isaac was blessed with many slaves too. What? Abraham and Isaac were slaveholders? And what do you think would happen if a runaway slave would be converted under the Apostle Paul? Well, one was. Paul told him he turned to his master and asked for his forgiveness and tell him that he now has a brother that now is of great value to the Apostle Paul. The Bible teaches biblical slavery, not humanistic slavery. For example, a person can sell themselves or a family member to slavery for 6 years. On the seventh, they would be set free with an ample supply of victuals to sustain themselves. If any of these wanted to stay a slave, the men would bore a hole in their ears to signify they were a permanent slave. Many settlers to America came this way to the new land. But the Bible is against, for example, the kidnapping of individuals for the purpose of making them slaves for life. Now do you understand why there are millions of Mexicans, Africans, Orientals, Central Americans, and South Americans flooding into Israel nations? The locusts are abounding. The more that come, the more America will change for the worse. There are degrees in the bloodline of Cain. It can differ from 100% to a very small, minuscule amount. The Cainites, after a 250-year wait, had enough of their blood to be totally destroyed. One of my best friends in high school, an Anglo-Saxon, married a Jewish girl. Their daughter would be at most 50% infected with Cain's blood. It depended on how much her mother's blood was infected. But let's say it was 50%. If she married a pure-blooded Anglo-Saxon, their offspring would be 25% infected. All the offspring of my best friend from high school is ruined. His children, grandchildren, great-children, and so forth. They will all have some portion of Cain's blood cycle in them, so that they will not be able to hear God's word. They would not be sheep. Let's end this sermon with the 12th division of Judah. The mixed seed Samaritans versus the holy seed Judahites. When a small remnant of the former kingdom of Judah came back to Jerusalem after their captivity, they needed to rebuild their temple and the walls around the city. Gaining permission from the king of Persia, Ezra and Nehemiah both had issues with race mixing. The first main difficulty was when the men of Judah and Benjamin were building the temple of the Lord God of Israel. Their adversaries came to the leaders of the kingdom of Judah and said to them, listen to this very carefully, Ezra 4, verse 2. Let us build with you, for we seek your God. As you do, and we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Assyria, who brought us here. Unquote. But they lied. They were not the covenant people. The leaders of Judah refused. This made the inhabitants of Samaria angry, and they weakened the hands of the men of Judah and actually stopped the building of the temple for a period of time. It was during this time that the prophets Haggai and Zechariah prophesied into the Israelites who were in Judah and Jerusalem. About 50 years later, Ezra hears more disturbing news. Ezra chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. The people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. For they have taken out their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mixed themselves with the people of these lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and the rulers have been first in this trespass. That's race mixing. Some of the people of the former kingdom of Judah had interracially married again. And it was many of its leaders. When Nehemiah came back to Jerusalem from Babylonia the second time, he cleansed the community of this sinful situation. Number one, first he expelled Tobiah, who was a non-Israelite Ammonite, from his place in the large court in the outer temple. Two, he dismissed the high priest, Eliashib, from his office. Number three, he assembled the heads of the community and reproached them bitterly because they had neglected to collect the tithes, causing the Levites to desert the temple. 4, he dissolved the mixed marriages, which again had been contracted. 5, he banished from Judah the mixed marriage of Manasseh and Nakasho. Manasseh was related to the high priest of Judah, and Nakasho was the daughter of Sanballat, a Samaritan. 6, he also sent into exile many other men of Judah who refused to end their mixed marriages with the Samaritans. If anybody says there's no mixed marriages in the Bible that I can find, just take them to Ezra and Nehemiah. Sanballat, the non-Israelite Samaritan, continued the battle between him and Nehemiah. He fought with Nehemiah over the building of the wall and continued with the banishment of his son-in-law, a priest, with his daughter. Sanballat conceived of a plan that disorganized the community of Judah. Build the new temple in Samaria in competition with the temple in Jerusalem. He could staff the new temple with descendants of Aaron, who also had been exiled because of their mixed marriages. The new temple was built on the summit of the fruitful Mount Gerizim at the fruit of the city of Shechem. Oh, a competing temple. Most of the leaders of the counterfeit temple and the vast membership were of mixed marriages. Reminds me of Answers in Genesis. The temple was in competition with the house of the Lord God of Israel in Jerusalem. Could it symbolize the New Age movement of today? Plato and Solon, later John Dee and Sir Francis Bacon, later Benjamin Franklin and Lafayette, later Albert Pike and Aleister Crowley, all believed that America was a new Atlantis. The old Atlantis was the anti-Devellian world, the pre-flood of Noah. The secret societies, Freemasons, etc., hoped to lead the world in a government without the God who made a covenant with his people. My conclusion. At the Temple of Gerizim, what kind of services do you think they had? What did they say? What did they do? They had former ministers from the real temple at Jerusalem who were officiating at the counterfeit temple, at least at the beginning. They had some Israelites, but they had married foreigners. They had a mixed multitude congregation. Exactly what the bridge had. The temple at Jerusalem forbid their spouses from even attending the services. That's what our church would do. What a perfect solution. Build a competing temple. One in which all are welcome. Israelites, foreigners, mongrels, welcome your enemies. No one is left out. But there's one big difference. Which one did God declare to be built? Which one did he declare that it had eventually become a den of thieves? And what is true today? Are there competing churches? Was the original one for Israelites only? Didn't they used to say the most segregated hour was 11 o'clock on Sunday? Was the competing one universal or Catholic? How many true churches remain? One of the competing churches today, the Roman Catholic Church, declared to the world in 1963 the following prayer of apology to the way that the Roman Catholic Church has treated the Jews over the centuries. It was given by the Pope. I'm going to read this short little prayer he gave. Quote, "We realize now that many, many centuries of blindness have dimmed our eyes, so that we no longer see the beauty of thy chosen people and no longer recognize in their faces the feature of our firstborn brother. We realize that our bowels are branded with the mark of Cain. Centuries long has Abel laid in blood and tears because we have forgotten thy love. Forgive us the curse which we unjustly laid on the name of the Jews. Forgive us that with our curse we crucified thee a second time, unquote. It can't be both churches are true. It is either theirs or ours, or neither of them, but they both can't be true. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, to be continued.